Hey, everybody, welcome back to Gossip That's Good For You. So happy you're here with us.
So happy. So I'm a little nervous. I don't know why I'm so nervous talking into the ether. It's weird. Not that anyone is listening to this podcast beyond our friends and family, but there's something so nerve-wracking about it, even though it shouldn't be. But
I think it's because you listen to 5 billion podcasts.
I know. And I think it's because I'm also just so judgmental. I'm like, who are these losers that think they can make a podcast? And now we're one of those losers. But I'm so excited. And I think we have a new name, Gossip That's Good For You, which honestly summarizes what this show is going to be about more than the last name, which we shall not mention. How's your week going?
It's pretty good. It's unseasonably warm in New York. So that annoys me.
This week in LA is actually so cold. Well, LA is so weird. In the morning, it's fall. And then it gets really hot, like around lunchtime. And then freezing cold at night. So I never know how to dress. I'm like always inappropriately clothed.
I mean, it's kind of like that here too. I just feel like I've hardly worn a coat, like a lightweight coat. And that's like my favorite time of year, all my different lightweight coats. And it's just, I don't know, my body feels off. It's not autumn weather, truly autumn weather, you know?
No, it's going to go straight into winter. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's how the East Coast and like New York and DC are.
I know, yeah. It's terrible. So anyways, something I'm very excited about, some engagement news that happened this week. I mean...
Are you excited? Are you like genuinely excited for them? Like happy for them?
I am. And here's why. So we're talking about Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker getting engaged. So I've been watching the Kardashians since the beginning. I very much enjoy the Kardashian family. Kourtney has been miserable.
Yeah.
For like all these years that we've been watching her. And, you know, I've always been like, I don't really love Kourtney. She's not my favorite, but I think it's because it's hard to watch somebody who maybe represents a part of you.
Whoa. I didn't know you were going to say that. That was deep. Damn. You have a part of you. Like what, in what way?
Like, so Kourtney, I mean, I'm very happy in my personal life very much right now, but like all these years, Kourtney was just kind of this like, appeared to be this like miserable, unhappy girl, kind of just like going through the motions. She wanted kids. She had him with Scott. She seemed like she worked really hard to manage her family with Scott, I guess you could say. But like, obviously we are just seeing this as fans and viewing this over social media. When she started dating Travis Barker, I mean, I've never seen Kourtney like this. Ever.
I don't know. I feel like it is so, the thing, I trust Travis Barker. Like, you know, Travis Barker doesn't seem like an attention whoring, like needing publicity kind of guy.
No.
And then I, again, I'm judging them the same way I judged Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly, where it's like, feels so performative and over the top, like, and unnecessarily, like, and who's following them around all the time, taking these intimate pictures of them looking so happy and like very much like sexually attracted to each other? It's like,
I mean, okay. I don't know what that's about. Like, I don't know why celebrities choose to have certain parts of their life photographed, you know, and pretend that they didn't know it. Like, I don't know what the
narrative thing on the show was also like, I just want to be with my kids. Like, I don't want the attention. Right. She wanted to be off the show. Like, it wasn't about that for her. So it's weird. Like the social, and like they had cameras staged at their engagement, which I thought was weird.
Like, well, I think it's being recorded for the new Hulu show.
I think so too. But then it's like, what?
Right. So I get what you're saying. You're like,
like
Kourtney was like, I don't want to be on the show anymore. I want to just be a mom. I want to be with my family. But here's the thing is, I think she's, when you're in love the way I believe Courtney is in love,
yeah,
everything changes. Like this is the first time she's been engaged, which I didn't even like realize until people started saying that, you know?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, her and Scott never like, I remember her once coming into Nobu when I was a hostess and she came in with Scott and mm-hmm. she had the most dead eyes. Like,
yeah.
She looked like she, like someone who was, when you said like she was miserable, and I'm just like judging her, I'm just looking at her being miserable as more annoying than like,
right.
I don't know if she's truly miserable or she's just one of those people that pretends to be, or like playing the victim. I'm not sure.
No, like I think about the way I used to be when I was unhappy in my like past relationship, my past life.
Yeah.
I didn't really know why I was unhappy. Like, it's not that black and white. It's not that simple. And then when I met my current husband and I'm very happy, and I feel like I feel like myself now for the first time. So I'm guessing maybe something
that this is Courtney's true self. Like this also like Megan Fox punk, like bad girl. That's Courtney. This is who she is.
Yeah. So that's also, I wanted to talk to you about what's kind of interesting is how Courtney's totally changed her fashion sense, being with Travis, like lots of black and leather and, metals and kind of like this punk girl. I mean, do we think this is who Courtney always was, or is it that she's so in love and she just wants to be, I don't know. Like, have you ever done anything like that?
Okay. First of all, that's such a leading question, because I know exactly what you're talking about. And honestly, when you sent me the email, the ideas, when you said that, I gasped, because mm-hmm. I did date a guy in college for a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
Who, I mean, I don't know if it, I think I like had, he was like very like, what would you call it? Punky, hipstery, gross. I don't know.
Like skater kind of,
yeah.
A little, yeah. A kind of a combo of these words, right?
I think I just, at the time I liked that kind of vibe. And so then mm-hmm. I like molded myself into that, or like, leaned into that
yeah.
myself with fashion, even though looking back, I'm like horrified. Like that was not me at all. But then I was also 19, 20. Courtney's like a grown woman. So maybe she
right.
maturing and like, this is who she is, or.
I mean, maybe, yeah. I mean, it certainly could be who she is. And yeah. She just never had an opportunity to express this side of herself.
Yeah.
And discovered a world that was like, you know what? She's always been a Kardashian and kind of followed. I mean, I don't want to say she followed Kim's fashion sensibility, but they all kind of have like a similar look.
Yeah.
And
it must be, the thing is, how is she miserable though too? I feel like Courtney, like Chloe had it the worst. And I feel like also the speed at which they all seem to get married, like when they meet someone, like there's no waiting period. Like how long have Travis and Courtney even been dating? Only a couple months?
I feel like I just read it was it 11? Has it been 11 months? I don't know. Maybe we didn't know it was that long, but
yeah. But
they've known each other for a long time. And I mean, who's to say that you have to wait X amount of months before getting engaged?
Not like, the Kardashians. I feel like none of them, they all go, there's no waiting.
No. I mean, sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't, you know, yeah. I don't know. I've never seen her like smile this way before. I've never seen her show off about her relationship like this before. Like,
I love how invested. I also, people are slow. Like, I can't tell when people post about this, if they're like serious about how legit happy they are for them. Because I'm like, I could not be not, I mean, I'm not happy for them, but I couldn't care less in any way.
I mean, I get it. And a lot of people are like, who cares about the Kardashians? I do care. I'm very interested. I'm very excited to watch their new show. I think Kris Jenner is like one of the greatest people in the world. So I think she's a genius. But we also had some exciting television that we've watched this week.
Oh my gosh, yes. Can we start? For me, Winter House is more exciting than the Beverly Hills Reunion.
So I agree.
Do you want to start with the exciting one or the boring one?
No, the exciting for okay. sure.
I took notes during Winter House only because, and like there's, this show isn't that deep and I thought it would be like very frivolous, but so it triggers so much in me watching it, maybe because they're like our age.
Yeah.
And the first thing I thought was, you know, it actually to me is acceptable that they are in their late 30s, early 30s, late 30s and partying like this. Like to mm-hmm. me, I find that inspirational. I'm like, good. You should be we're treated like you can only have those years in your 20s, like a very short period of time where you're allowed to be irresponsible and party and get drunk like this and behave like ridiculously.
Yeah.
And I like that, you know, no, it's like now more except, you know, you can be younger longer.
Yeah. No, I was thinking the same thing watching it. I'm like, they are my age and they are just having the time of their life. And I'm like, I love that. Like, it is kind of somehow giving us permission whenever we feel like being that way. Like, it's okay.
It's okay. The Housewives level fighting for the rooms was so bizarre to me. I've never been in like a group house where I cared, where anyone has cared this much, like having to have meetings about your bedrooms. Like,
I was getting like really stressed, like really like that. The anxiety was like, you could tell everybody was like really intense, especially Kyle. Like,
oh my God,
the intensity. And then he was like, oh, I don't care. Like what, like having wine or shot with someone who's like, whatever. And I'm like, but you care so much. You're getting so wasted because you're so mad. And then you end up sleeping on a couch.
The fact that he cared so much was out of control. It was insane. I'm like, it's like genuine. Like it's, you can't. Uh-huh. And it was so weird. I'm like, why all the bedrooms were nice. Like they were going to give them a little bigger one so they could have a bathroom. Like they all have bathrooms.
Right. Just because you're a couple, you're just automatically get the biggest, best room. Like I'm glad Amanda didn't like fight her girlfriends over something like that. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. It's Kyle so is annoying. And how drunk he got, that was not fun. Like at that point, for Amanda, he's like embarrassing. And I feel like the way he was talking to her, I don't know like what's with men on Bravo, because the way that the way that Tom talks to Katie on Vanderpump Rules, the way that Kyle talks to Amanda, it bothers me. I'm like,
it's hard to watch sometimes. It's, you know, I feel for these girls. I'm like, oh God. And you know, they don't want
to having your worst fights within your relationship be on television. And then it's easier to judge when you watch. Like, no, I think that they have a good I think they're in love. He's like they're a good marriage, a good match.
Right.
It's just he needs to learn. He keeps every season, he gets this wasted on camera and then is nasty to her or like says or like acts like a crazy person. Maybe don't drink so much. Like maybe you tie it back a little.
Right. Reel it in just slightly, please.
The Italian guy. I did not think he was that hot. I did not get it.
God, it was cute. The girls all being like, you know, I was like, okay, that's like fun, cute. But I'm like, but they're also like being serious about it.
But they're serious. Like,
yeah.
He was such a stud. I was like, he seems so cheesy.
Cheesy. Yes. I'm like, okay, can you stop with all the like Italian stereotype and like all like the just everything he said. Oh, I don't have pizza like this. And it's like, okay, calm down. Just relax.
Justice for Luke. I don't understand why Luke is never the app. Like, I guess he had Hannah, but now like, how is the Italian guy coming in and then he would be a better option like then they treated Luke? I don't know. Think Luke is so hot. I'm so biased. I'm like, why does he not get any other girls?
I don't know. He's well, the Italian guy's new. So anything, you know, new and shiny is exciting. Yeah. But
Craig and Austin were new too. And I was happy. Well, no, you can tell that Sierra is going to had a thing for Austin. What didn't we see that in the preview?
Okay. Can I just say, cause I don't really watch Southern Charm. I could not tell the difference between Austin and Craig the whole time. I was like, I got so confused. I had to keep Googling. Okay. Wait, Austin used to date Matt.
That is so, cause they are, they have the exact same personality, like, and tone. They're like the same kind of bro.
Yes.
And they're like a stereotype of, but also a kind of guy I used to think was the hottest. Like I was like, ooh, yeah. Like there was definitely a time in my 20s when I would have seen Craig at a bar or like talked to Austin being like, oh my God.
Yeah, no, heartthrob.
Horrible. Now I look at them, I'm like, they are buffoons. Like they
are. Yeah, just, no, they're not my
sloppier. Thing. You know, they just seem like they are really dirty. You know, there's mm-hmm. something about both of them, especially Austin. Austin just seems like he would be lazy in bed and like not be well showered, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I have to watch more to form like a real strong opinion.
Because now Craig is dating Paige in real life.
Right. Right. So, and then I guess I just read that they were just friends throughout this whole Winter House thing, which everybody's like, it was so cool that they were friends. Whatever. So that'll be.
And like Craig has more potential as to be a viable, you know, person than Austin. So I'm actually happy for her. And like, she's last night too, I just kept thinking she's so pretty. Like she's just so pretty.
Just she's so cute. And you know what bothered me was when the Italian guy like said something kind of, it was sort of seemed under his breath that Paige is a mean girl or it would be like Regina George. And like,
yeah,
that like hurt me for her. She's like, why would you say that about Paige? Cause she's actually, to me, seems the sweetest out of everyone. But then she responds in her interviews with like, I didn't even hear what he said. Cause he's so hot.
I think sometimes guys like him, these cheesy, like smarmy, like, yeah, it's like, you know, take a jab, like two little insults to like break her down, you know?
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
Because we know he's going to screw her over somehow, which is just, I think she's such a catch. So I'm happy for Craig.
Me too.
Because before the girlfriend he had, I know you didn't watch Southern Charm, but he dated this girl, Naomi, who was also so pretty. She's like Paige pretty, like very, you know, that same like cute.
Yeah.
Whatever. And they had a weird relationship on the show. Like he wasn't a great boyfriend then, but I think by now, hopefully, because the whole point was he was lying about being a lawyer. It was like all this up.
What? Whatever.
You'll never go back and watch those episodes and don't worry about it. No. But no, I'm happy for them. I'm happier for them than I am for Travis and Courtney.
Okay. That's acceptable.
Okay. The other thing that I wanted to ask you about, the cheese and oral sex thing. What? Who would ever say the oral sex?
Well, I just think the sexual tension was so high in that house. It was like insane. I mean, that's like all they were talking about in every goddamn
would
scene.
You have picked sex or would you have picked oral sex or cheese if you had cheese. To pick, yeah, of I, course like, yeah, you they probably just brought that up to talk about sex. I wasn't thinking about the sexual tension went over my head because I'm a loser.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was bubbling up. It was like drink, sex games, talk about sex. Everybody's wearing bikinis and half naked. And, you know, it was like cranked up.
Yeah. What else? I can't mean like that. I'm so excited. I feel like the show's going to be so good.
It's going to be great. It was chaotic and in a really fun way. It made me.
Better than Beverly. Like, I was on such a low after the Beverly Hills reunion, which we can talk about because it's been so disappointing to me. The first two episodes, I'm like, why did they need to drag it out to four? It doesn't seem necessary.
No, it was funny because I was looking up people's posts who like typically like hate Erica and are anti-Erica. And I was like, interesting. Nobody's been talking about Erica today.
Oh, you thought she did a good job last night?
Yeah. Do a good job. I don't know, but I think her answers to all of Andy's questions were like, I think as a viewer, if you questioned Erica, you would be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I mean, people.
No, 100% opposite. I felt like she was nothing she was saying was making sense. I feel like she dug herself in a, when she was saying, what Andy's asking her, like, you know, I know how much you make like to leave. And her whole thing was, oh, well, he controlled my bank account. He controlled all the money. I had no access to my money. I don't believe that because he was right when Andy was like, well, if you, that would have been half of yours, right?
water.
That would be half of your money too. Like, you could take it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, legally, because they were married. She could have, that was like her money that she was entitled to, because it was like the money that she had made. So she could have left, and she said, yeah, but that money was now in lawsuits or tied up, or it's not my money or whatever, or we're right. in debt now. She didn't, and he said, but you didn't know about that then. Because this was like when he was first cheating on her, and she said she wanted to leave like 3 years ago.
Right.
She wouldn't have known, allegedly, according to her, about all the debt that he's in. So that wouldn't be a excuse to not have left then, because you didn't want to take on all the debt.
Yeah, but she's saying, like, I didn't have access to my money. So it's not like she could just up and grab her money and go. It would be her having to, like, go through him or his people or his law firm.
I mean, that was entitled, like, but when, because it's the money she made, she would have been legally entitled to it. So yeah, they would have had to maybe. And also, I don't believe that she didn't have any access to her money. This man was pumping millions of dollars into your singing, fake singing career. Like, you're telling me you didn't have access to any money? No. I mean, like, then how did you have the money to leave when you left? Because she did leave.
He asked her that, and she was just like, somebody, she said, she didn't say, and she was just like, somebody helped me, or she implied that or something.
Okay.
I mean,
she didn't say, because there's no, you can't lie your way out of that. Doesn't make any sense. If someone could give you money now, they couldn't have given you money then. You have all these rich friends. You're on a hit TV show. And the way that she kept saying, also allegedly, if he did this, I would be so devastated. There's court documents. Like, there's, the judge has ruled, like, where is the missing money? There's like, if he didn't, what he did is not like pay out the victims of these lawsuits. There's 2 million or more missing of that money. Where is it then, Erica, if he didn't do it?
Well, I think the reason she keeps saying allegedly is probably because her lawyers told her she has to, for whatever reason. That's the only reason I'm assuming she keeps also saying
civil,
that.
And these are civil cases. You don't rule something as, there's like not guilty and not guilty. You know, that's mm-hmm. not, that's only yeah. in criminal court. So it's even, there's no, the allegedly part, like, we don't need to wait for a judge. Like, it's already been. This fact that he's been disbarred, all of these things have happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And these victims, the money is missing. He's bankrupt. Like, where, if he didn't do it, where's the money? And it feels like she's still defending him in this, and only in that way. She slams him for, he was cheating on her all this time. He was such a mean, horrible person.
Mm-hmm.
But then she's like, but allegedly he did these things. Like, no, it feels like she's still defending him, but then also making the excuses for why she's not with him. It just didn't make any sense to me.
Well, I think it's hard for somebody to, I think she sort of said something like, it's so hard for me to believe that he actually, like, I hope it wasn't him.
How about, it would be hard for you to believe if he's this horrible person that you're saying he was. Like, he was not letting you have access to your money, that, like, all these bad things about him, but you couldn't believe this about him?
I mean, yeah, I see your point there. God, I don't know. It sounds like, it's so layered and complicated. It's like, okay, there's the one side of it where it is about, where's these victims' money? I mean, obviously it seems as though the bottom line is, he used it to fund his lifestyle, Erica's lifestyle.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's pretty clear.
For years. Like, the other thing is, like, these aren't like new cases. Like, the judgment's going back before they were married. Like, she, when she was saying, like, you know, I was 24, he was 60 or whatever, like, he was in the power dynamic was always off. I believed all of that. Like, that.
Yeah.
And I do think it was probably a really hard, I believe the bad things she's saying about him, but it's also like, she then lied for, like, she was putting on such a fake show and facade on the show then, since she's been on it. And in her book, she writes about how, like, my name's on the tax returns too, like, something mm-hmm. about, you know, having how powerful, like, she is financially, and how, like, Tom, like, lets her is like the best husband ever. He's given her this great life and how much they love each other and how smart and great he is. But then now she's not acting like, so she's been lying and acting that whole time. But now this is true. That's hard to believe.
I mean, I think she was in a relationship with somebody where she absolutely could not expose that there was any issue within their relationship. Like, I mean, there's like those few moments over the seasons where she interrupted him and he snapped at her and it was really aggressive and uncomfortable. Yeah. I think it was absolutely out of the question for her to ever even suggest that there was an issue within their relationship. It's kind of like, you know, this is the deal you made, honey. You know, you better put on a good show for us. So now maybe it's that she's kind of free to speak now in a way.
I know. I think when the money was coming in and things were good, it was not a problem for her. Like, and all these things, like he's been cheating on her for years with multiple different women. She's known about this. She's known how bad he like treated her about the money stuff. And he's been stealing from his clients since before they were married. She knew. And I'm sure he was lying to her saying like, I've got it all under control, because she got served a lawsuit in 2014 or something about for the saying like, you're liable for this missing money in one of the settlements. And she got a subpoena. She signed it. So you saw he was getting sued by these like for, you know, not paying out settlement monies. Like, you saw this, like you could not have been not aware at all. She's not that stupid.
No, she's not stupid. God, I don't know. It's so, I just don't think it's that simple. I just don't think it's that black and white. Like, a lot of the questions Andy was asking Erica from the viewers, I'm just like, I just feel like some viewers, I'm like, you've obviously never like experienced any sort of like turmoil or struggle in your life. Like, it's so just not that simple. And
I think I think it's not that simple because I see that she like loves him. I think like she's internally struggling, but I think she's still seeing herself. There's no excuse for her still seeing herself as the victim here. When they were like, don't you care about the victims and people he screwed over? And she was like, yeah, but I have to care about myself first. Like, I'm the most important. And I get that for,
yeah.
But also to say that, like, and all the empathy, that's not your money, girl. Like, you're fighting to keep your money, but it's not like,
right. Yeah. No, that's a really good
point. It belong to you. If I stole someone's purses and I gave them to you as a gift, and then the police came and they're like, hey, these are stolen. You wouldn't say, no, even though it was stolen and given to me, this is mine now. No,
yeah.
You don't give it up.
No, you're correct there. You're absolutely right. I guess, I don't know. Maybe it's hard that she just had this idea of what her world was and what her life was. And it's not only was he like cheating and just kind of maybe not so great to her, but he's really scammed her into believing she was living this life that he really wasn't honestly supporting, you know, or being honorable about. I mean,
it's gross. Like, you were over the top spending money. You were wasteful. Like, the life that she had, yeah, she's still rich. Like, she's still living a very nice, luxurious life with a private plane. Like, she's doing fine. And okay, you don't have the excessive wealth to waste money like on owning a plane and like this bullshit music career that wasn't a real thing that they pumped more money into than she ever made from it. Like, okay, but you're still rich. You're still living better than the victims of these.
For sure.
Things that your husband isn't paying out. So give them their money then. Like, you owe $2 million. That's what they're suing you for. Give up the $2 million. Like, it's not yours.
So I think that she's feeling like what I got from it was she's just feeling like everything that Tom did is just being placed blame on her. Everything that Tom's being sued for, she's being sued for. And she's like, I didn't literally do these things. And you guys are trying to sue me for.
But you didn't do them. But now you have that stolen goods. Like, you might not have stolen the money, but now that money is, you spent it or it's in your bank account. So
And while that might be true, it wasn't done to her. Like, she wasn't doing it. I don't believe she did it knowingly.
Yeah, but if someone told you you had.
No, I hear what you're saying.
You know, like you, that's not yours. Yeah. Like, they gave you a stolen good. Unfortunate. It's not your fault. Like, you didn't know. You didn't commit the original crime.
Yeah.
But now you have something that does not belong to you. You are responsible to give it back. I mean, and she's fighting these people to not pay them. And it's like, and demand, she's trying, and she's also suing to fight to get paid whatever, to get paid back whatever from Tom's estate before, like, for his debts, mm-hmm. then before the victims get paid.
Right. Like, that's a little,
And now you have access to your money. Like, now you're still on this reality show. You're still making good money. I mean, and the way all the women were just agreeing, besides Sutton and Garcelle, and they kept defending her, like, over the top, like, oh yeah, like, you wouldn't know, like, when you're men, you don't know where the money is. You, like, of course, yes, yes, yes. And the dementia, yes, he definitely had dementia. What? Like, Kyle's story about her friend who also who watched it and was like, oh, Tom, like, it's just, I feel like they rehearsed this shit before they went on, like, those four, the Kyle, Erica, and Rinna, who are, like, and Dorit, like, worst. I hate that L shape. But I feel like they prepped with questions and, like, they decided on what they were going to say. It was just so weird.
I just don't agree with, like, anything you're saying.
I know. And that's crazy because I left that episode, like, Erica could not look more guilty to me. Guilty of, like, a thing where it's like, you are the greed and the selfishness and the narcissistic belief that you are more wronged in this situation. Like, you aren't. You're going to be fine. You're lying about, like, you're lying about the extent of which I think he was that abusive to you, because now that's a good narrative. Like, looking like you can say that in the back. That's because then you can't say, she doesn't want to say that she left because of all the lawsuits that started coming in, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. that is why she left. The timing's
interesting.
Yeah. All these things are happening to you and you didn't get the courage to leave until just so happened to be, like, the week before all these lawsuits came in and you knew he was going to be bankrupt.
Yeah. I mean, God, I don't know. It's so, watching everything she said in both episodes, I felt like her defense was very, she didn't stutter. She stuttered in the promos, which are just all, like, edited, but
yeah. Oh, the promos, and the promos put everything good. Like, all the good bits of this reunion so far have been in the trailer.
Yeah. But it's like, it wasn't even the responses in the promos weren't even what the responses were in the actual show. So I feel like, you know, what got me was when she said, you know, Tom's life's over. He's got dementia. He's in a home. He's disbarred. Like, he's done. I'm 50. You know, I can't let this destroy me. I have to find a way to recover. And so I think
the recovery can't be by keeping money by stealing money from victims.
I mean, I think she's just trying to keep her head above water and is trying to figure out how to navigate this, because she's being, like, destroyed beyond destroyed, because it's really like Tom, everybody's just blaming her more than Tom. That's what it feels like.
Well, because of her behavior now. And I think if she was more sympathetic to the victims, if it seemed an authentic, like, no, I'm horrified that, like, I want them to have their money. And I will do whatever responsible. Like, I want to do whatever I can to rectify this, because I feel disgusting. Like, how horrible. I'm so mad at him. Like,
that is my one kind of always been my one question. Like, why are you not way more distraught about that? Mm-hmm. I mean, that is, she said, I am, she said, it's horrible, but I do wish, wonder why.
Prefacing it by, oh, it's so horrible. If that happened, if allegedly I hope it's not true, but it is true. Like, you.
So why does she keep saying that then? Then what?
It doesn't make any sense. Like, so it's, and also I don't, because she's still trying to win that money back. Like, cause they're, I don't know. It's so, that what is infuriating. It's like so infuriating.
Well, it seems to be the bottom line as to why.
Just pay the, if it's not true, then why isn't Tom just then giving the Lion Air victims the $2 million he owes them? If all this is not true, then where's, just pay, Erica. You know it's true because they're still missing money that is owed to these victims. Like, that is a fact. That's not something that needs to be proven in court. It's already been proven. Now, all they're doing now is like trying to find the money to pay all those lawsuits, or like trying to get the money from the creditors, or because Tom owes so many people money that like they're all fighting to get who gets paid out first.
Yeah, I mean, it's really unfortunate. This whole thing is really so sad, in just that someone so powerful who was supposedly doing good for people and protecting the weak and vulnerable actually just stole from them. It's awful. It's so awful. And I think what Erica was saying is, that's who I thought I was with, somebody who defends, you know, the weak and vulnerable. And now to learn that,
but no, you didn't think that because you knew he was cheating on you. He was someone who helps the sick and vulnerable, but then is a horrible human being to you behind closed doors. Like,
well, you know, I think the two can exist in one person, unfortunately, you know?
And I guess I could see how getting, cause she knew about all the lawsuits coming in. Like, so she knew he was getting sued for all this shit. But I can see him explaining like to her something like, oh, I've got it under control, or, oh, don't worry about this, is normal lawyer stuff.
So right. That
might not have understood what was going on, but like, you know, now, so maybe show that, like, be angry. She does not sound angry with him. She doesn't sound like disgusted by what he did. It's still like, if he did those things, you know, then I'll hate him. But
yeah, it's like, I really just want to fast forward to the end of this entire situation and really find out like what the bottom line is here, because it's, I don't know. It's a lot. I thank God I'm not in her shoes.
But Lisa Rinna, to me, I think she is, I can't stand her. I think she is so mean. The first episode, it wasn't even fun. The way she was going at Garcelle was just, she just looked, had the meanest like look on her face. And I'm like, who is this Rinna? Like, why are you so angry? You know?
I totally disagree. I don't think she's mean. I keep trying to figure out why people hate her. I truly can't find something that like I really like. I'm like, oh, she just annoys me. I have no issue with Rinna like at all. And I always try to see the other side and try to understand. Like, what is it that bothers you so much?
Oh, I think she's so fake. Like, I think she's not an authentic person. She's coming up with like a personality for this show. I think she's creates problems in other people's like lives. Like, she'll come up, everything is about like, there's always one season that she targets someone and goes after them. It was like Yolanda, she went after her for the Munchausens, and like,
right.
Then it was Kim, like, because of the drugs or whatever. Then Denise. Then before that, there was someone who, Lisa Vanderpump, like, it's always a deflection and a target in the way. It's like, get a storyline, get a personality, or instead of your personality being only talking about other people's lives. And also, the treatment of Garcelle is so beyond to me. Like, Garcelle, she was talking to her as if, how horrible, how, when she said, what's her husband's name?
Harry.
She's like, Harry was watching and he was like, why is Garcelle so miserable?
Yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all. That she
was like gaslighty and rude.
Yeah, that made me cringe, to be honest with you. Clearly, watching her and Garcelle in the first reunion episode, I was just like, what? Like, I felt like I was there and I'm like, what is happening? What is going on between these two? Like, it was very real what was happening with them.
Oh, no. I think
you don't think so.
Garcelle was being real. Garcelle was trying to explain, like, what I can't. She's Lisa Rinna's getting so pissed because, well, you said you couldn't trust me. You said, I didn't know if we were friends, like back to being friends or not. Mm-hmm. But then in every confessional, Lisa, you were also saying that you're never on Garcelle's side because you don't agree with her. Like, so she's not. And why would she trust you then? Like, can't you understand the trust, why she would say, I have a trust problem with you? And also, if you're never agreeing with your friend, if you're never on their side in any argument or disagreement, is that your friend? Like,
yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, honestly, they shouldn't be friends. They just shouldn't.
I don't think they are. And I think
they should just give it up.
The performative, when she got up from the couch and went over to hug Garcelle, I was like, oh, stop it. Because now you're uncomfortable because she said something that when Garcelle said, I heard that you said you were upset because now they have to talk about race on the show.
Yeah.
100%. She didn't deny saying it. It was more, she was angry at the, how dare you, like, why would you, how could you ever say that to me? Just say, you know, I would not, of course I didn't say that. I don't feel that way. I'm not uncomfortable. I'm so glad. It was only Kathy that said, no, I'm happy. Or Kyle only jumped in and said, oh, no, it's good that we're having these conversations. Rinna never said anything. She never denied saying it. She just made herself like a horrible person for like asking or repeating the information.
Yeah, that was awkward. That was, oof. I know.
When Dorit also, but Dorit, when she screamed, when she was like, let me message Garcelle, I wanted to knock her out. I was like, you, if anyone screamed at me that way, and like, Dorit, calm the fuck down.
I know. Like, I mean, Dorit did not contribute anything to this season.
Nothing. You contributed nothing. And now, like, your only gameplay is to have an aggressive, making up a drama to fight Garcelle of all.
I know. It's so forced.
I wonder, I could get rid of her. Like, I was saying, like, we could keep the whole cast next season. I don't need her. She just more annoys me. Like, I hate Rinna. I think she's a horrible person, but you can leave her. Fine. Because I want them to come for her. Like, I'm hoping her days are numbered. So get rid of Dorit and get someone who else can be on Garcelle and Sutton's side. And then,
well, it seems like Crystal is now team Sutton and Garcelle in real time, but
yeah,
we won't know.
Yeah. And I also wonder how much of a backbone Crystal's going to, I want Lisa Rinna to get what she's been giving. Like, it needs to, the storyline needs to change next season and be focused on something in Rinna's life. And I think whenever Kim brought up, like, we know what your husband does, you know, let's dig into that. What does Harry Hamlin do? Make Lisa Rinna the drama and let her see what that feels like.
Well, this is what I was going to say. I'm assuming the reason Lisa's always getting into everyone else's life is because I don't really think there's anything going on in her personal life. How has it not been brought up after all these seasons? She's been on the show for so long. How has nothing, but even with like Amelia dating Scott, like that didn't even.
She was trying to make that drama. I mean, maybe there is something going on in her life, but then get off the show. Then I don't need you. All you're doing is creating fake drama in other people's lives. And also the performative of like the way she's gluing herself to Erica is so bizarre. I'm like, because to me, she seems like a very narcissistic, self-aware in a way. She's like aware of what's going on social media. And like, she sees, I'm sure, how much her stock has fallen and how people aren't liking her this season and aren't liking her behavior. And she's doubling down on it. And it doesn't, I'm like, what's going on?
I don't know. I oh my God. Like, I'm just like, why am I not like understanding what you're saying? Like,
wow.
I know I'm in the minority here. Like, I know everybody like hates, most people are like not into Lisa Rinna. And, you know, I just, all I know is whatever fight was going on between Lisa and Garcelle was really uncomfortable. And I think it's about something that we're just like never going to know about, or it's never going to be brought up, because I think Garcelle was just kind of saying, okay, Lisa, yeah, we're good. We're good. Just to simply say we're good, because she didn't know what else to do. It just became like too much, you know? So, and then they made up, you know, and I was like, oh, okay, cute. We made up.
That was not a real makeup. That was okay, like Lisa Rinna trying to deflect. Cause like she was then when the brace thing got brought up, she like needed to, and the speed up the, I just want to love you, Garcelle. Like, I just want to be, just love me, Garcelle. Shut up.
No, I get it. It's like, okay, so now you're, I mean, Garcelle was like, oh, in the show, like, oh, I want you to make up with Denise. And she's like, you can't make me do that. But then on the reunion, she's like, you have to make up with me. Like, you have to be my friend again.
Yeah.
You know? But so what bothered me, though, is like on the reunion, they appeared to have made up. Okay, we're going to move forward. But then on Watch What Happens Live, Garcelle clearly is still not a fan of Lisa. No. She wasn't saying stuff, but her eyes were saying a lot.
Well, because if it didn't get resolved, Garcelle was making points like, I can't trust you. Do you understand why I can't trust you? And then Erica was defending again these like tag team of villains to me. But his response kept being, it's really hurtful that what you were saying, that we can't be friends. I can't believe you'd say that to me. Like, I can't believe you could say you don't trust me instead of acknowledging, do you understand why she's saying she can't trust you? Like, you've given all these reasons. So then instead of dismissing that as like not an excuse and like as if it doesn't, that's nothing. And now pretending like, I just want you to love me, going and giving a fake hug. You didn't address anything. And what's Garcelle going to, you're putting her in a weird position. What's she going to say? Like, get off me? No.
Right. No, I felt like Garcelle's like, all right, I'm just going to like settle this and move on. Like, I don't know what to do anymore. I just think there's something deep between them, and it was so uncomfortable. The whole thing was so uncomfortable to watch. So I don't know. I mean, I guess it'll be interesting for next season if they're both back.
And I think those two will both definitely be back.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're both really good on the show. So, the rest of the reunion, both episode 1 and 2, was like,
ugh. Yeah, I don't even, I mean, I didn't care about, nothing. And the weird Halloween placement was so funny when they did the advertise, like the, I'm like, okay, now you're adding the commercials like while the show is going on. This is upsetting.
I know. And everybody's like, oh my God, I can't wait to watch Kyle in the new Halloween movies.
And when Andy asked Kathy, like, Andy, okay, Kathy, was that you? Were you the one that sent Michael Myers to the house? And she's like, so confused. You can tell Kathy's like, oh, uh-huh. Mm-hmm, what?
Yeah. Yeah, that was me. Sure. Uh-huh.
I'm like, I don't know. God. Well, I'm still going to watch the next two, but I am disappointed and bored.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking after watching it, I'm like, I don't think everybody's going to get what they really want out of this.
No, I'm like, they really hyped it. And I'm like, another 2 episodes? Like, what are we talking about? Yeah.
I mean, obviously I'm going to watch, but we'll see if anything really thrilling comes out of it. So with that being said, the Kyle in the Halloween movie.
Yeah. The Kyle. Oh, Halloween. Okay. You were saying you don't like scary things, but you like true crime, no?
I do. So I've been thinking about this a lot. So this Halloween movie, what's it called? Halloween Kills or something?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's 2 types of scary stuff to me. There's those movies with like the blood and the ridiculousness of some crazy man coming and murdering everybody. And then there's like the more like ghost kind of stuff, or people being possessed, and that's what really scares me. Like
ghost movies.
Well, like, okay, I think it's The Conjuring. Have you seen that?
No, of course not.
Oh, okay.
I hate horror movies. Like, I don't like scary movies, but I love true crime. Like, I could watch Dateline ID all day long. I could watch, you know, the ID Discovery, but this real, like, not real, I guess, fake fictional horror movies terrify me.
Okay. okay, so that's why I just like don't watch anything. And I, okay, the stuff you like the true crime stuff, I can do that. I can do it. But some stuff is so,
I've been following this Gabby Petito, Brian Landry, the guy, like they were.
Of course. I mean, to me, that's like news. That's not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awful, but it's not like horror film stuff.
Well, I mean, well, isn't that kind of fucked up for both of us? Like when you think about what it, that is less scary for some reason than a horror movie, but it's real, you know?
Yeah. I mean, well, it's awful. I mean, that story is just.
I didn't look this morning since I woke up, but yesterday, didn't they find like his backpack? I hope he's not, hasn't killed himself because that'll just be so.
Oh. He did. He totally did. He's a coward. He runs. Why are you running away? For what?
The people giving him the credit to be smart enough to like escape to another, like that he got on a boat and like went somewhere and he's like in another country. I'm like, I don't
know.
It doesn't seem like that is like a spy movie level kind of escape shit. Like
he probably snapped and is killed her and it sounds like she got strangled and I'm assuming there's something mentally ill, something really wrong with him and didn't know how to escape his actions and so he killed himself. I mean,
but it's weird, like I could stay up like sometimes late at night, like when I'm falling asleep I'll listen to a true crime podcast, I'll like listen to stories like this and I like feel like it lulls me to bed. Like sometimes I fall asleep listening to.
How does that lull you to bed?
I don't know. Isn't there? Maybe there's mentally wrong with me.
No, because I see like a lot of memes about women like being like all happily cozy in bed, like listening to like some disturbing true crime thing, and I'm like, oh, that's Denise, and I have to be. Like alert, like, 2020 I'll watch or something like that.
You know what I got into for a while, like a couple months ago, airplane crash reenactment videos.
Oh my God.
They have like all these channels on YouTube. There's one called Mayday, which is like literally just all of the worst plane crashes in history. And they do these like reenactments of how it went down. And I don't know.
Oh my God. I can't.
Something about it was therapeutic. And all like,
what is wrong with you? Like what?
No.
Seriously, that is so sick. Like
but it did make me actually less scared to fly because like the way that they fixed all the, like a lot of, like all of them were mostly in the 90s and early 2000s. And they like all the problems, like you could tell there was like a pattern. Like it was a lot of the same things that caused these crashes and they like fixed those problems now. And I don't know. It made me less, I feel like confronting something I'm afraid of makes me less scared. So like now I feel like less afraid to fly.
I mean, while that's like a good way to do things, I hear, I will not, I mean, that is so crazy. I could like, Andrea should shut this off right now.
I mean, like now I've moved on to like fire disasters. Like I'm like fascinated by it. And I'm like, I don't know why. Cause those book and like, I've been reading so many nonfiction books about like fire disasters and all these disasters through history. And I do not know why that makes me feel better. I don't know. It's
what? Crazy. I mean, I could understand like being interested, but to say it makes you feel good or
I don't know. I'm like, okay. It makes me also think I could survive a fire better. Like I'm like more well-prepared now, like, gotta know where the exits are. Don't, don't go out the same door you came in because, you're not going to make it out. Everyone's going to pile on top of you. I feel more prepared in a disaster.
I mean, I learned stuff like that in elementary school though. Like that stuck with me from elementary school, like stop, drop and roll stuff. And you got to hear the most extreme versions of it.
And listen, that they did not prepare, like the way one of the books I read was talking about like why some people survive in these like situations. It was listing a bunch of different disasters like Katrina, 9/11, like a and why in those situations some people lived and like who died. And it was like people panic. And instead of like in 9/11, instead of getting out of the building faster or like leaving their desks, people, even once the plane, they knew the building was on fire, they were still like cleaning up their desks and like getting stuff prepared to leave. Or they were shook, like they were so in shock that they couldn't move. So they wouldn't get up. And that happens in airplane crashes, like where you have like 30 seconds to get out and survive. And the people, some people just freeze in their seats and don't move. But if they just gotten up, you know.
Oh God. It's like
but nauseating. Now I know this and I'm aware of it. I'm like, oh, see, but I know that you would feel that shock. So you could snap yourself out of it. And I'm going to survive those disasters because of all the crazy shit I watch.
I mean, listen, I plan ahead for disasters that I hope will never occur. You know, like last night I was imagining like, what if there's like this random earthquake, you know, on Long Island and I suddenly, what do? Do I question if my house will collapse or do I just run and grab Nico and run out of the house and run to our car? And do we drive over the bridge or do we like, I mean, first of all, the fact that I'm letting my brain do that is so unfortunate, but this is why I don't listen to or watch these things because I don't want to be laying in bed thinking about that. I don't know what brought me to that.
Well, I could tell you in an earthquake, what I've learned, you don't run out of the house. You grab Nico and you hide under like a sturdy table.
We live in this really, really old house. So I just like, don't trust it, but.
Okay, would stay up? Well, I don't know. Cause like, I don't know if they've prepared New York for earthquakes. Cause it doesn't seem like they would happen that often. No.
No. And they do happen occasionally. And absolutely New York is not prepared for something like that, but let's just pray that something like that never.
In LA, like we've had, since I've been here, like there's been three or four little earthquakes and I haven't felt them, but I'll get so many text messages from all of my friends. Like, did you feel that one? Oh my God, that was crazy. Really? I'm like, why didn't I feel anything?
Oh God. See, that's what would make me afraid to live in California is the earthquake. I'm really afraid of natural disasters. Like really afraid. Like that flash flood in Queens from like a month or so ago was so horrible. And I will absolutely not take that risk. The risk of going out in my car when there could be a potential flash flood because that was, the shit's real now.
Yeah. So. I mean, like, and I think they're just going to get, I was going to get depressing. I'm like, with climate change, things are going to get worse, but you know, that's not why I read these books. I read them to make myself feel better and more prepared. And like the true crime stuff, like there's something that it's like irrationally, I just think watching them, I'm like, oh, okay. It's almost always your boyfriend or an ex-boyfriend, husband, like,
yeah,
almost always it's your partner. So just, it makes me feel safer. I'm like, well, maybe if I just, as long as I just know, then I guess you never really know someone. I don't know. Maybe Matt could kill me. I don't know. This could be on record. Like, you know, this.
We'll have the proof here that you thought it was potential.
Yeah, just in case.
This is why, honestly, I watch reruns of like The Office and Friends.
Oh, gross.
And I Love Lucy because this stuff is so real to me sometimes, even when it's like fake, you know, horror stuff. I'm like, but you do hear about these things happening, maybe not to this extreme, but you do hear about it. I don't know. I get like nightmares, like truly my brain at night is as though I was in this movie or this story, or it's so horrifying. It's become so real to me. I have to shut it all out.
Wow.
Yeah. It's too real for me.
I thought you also, I thought you were into the Discovery ID channel too, like those for the time. Maybe, do you think after having Nico that changed, or like now you're more?
I've always been really scared of all this stuff. I will watch certain things, but I don't know, like I think certain ones hit home for some. I'm always like, I was like, what if I had like a past life and these things happened to me? Is that why I'm so scared?
I think you're normal. Well, I mean, why are we so scared? Well, I don't know. It seems normal to be scared. You know, like it would be, that's how humans survive. Like you should be scared and then you're more aware and alert. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Like
being scared in that way and then being scared in a horror movie when it's just, I like scary movies, but I don't like gory. Like if there's a lot of blood and shit, I don't like it. I don't want it. But if it's just like really scary, like on the edge of your seat, you mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. I like it. Like Shutter Island, like movies like that.
I mean, I heard that was really scary.
It was really scary, but it wasn't like gory or bloody.
See, okay, I might take a chance and like watch a movie like Halloween to compare it to like the Conjuring. The only reason I'm bringing up The Conjuring is because my stepchildren watched it a few months ago. I came home and I was like, why is this on? Why is this on?
They're like so young. Aren't they like 13, 14?
Yeah, they're teenagers and they're like, because it's fun. And I'm like, I want to watch, like, I'm curious. So I'm kind of watching it. And it really upsets me because I think the guy's like,
looks so scary. I don't like exorcism, possession. Like, no, those movies.
Yes. Scary. And the little boy has powers and he's trapped in the other world. And it just, mm-hmm. I honestly watched it for 20 minutes because I'm curious, but I kept going, I know this is going to scare me. The nightmares I had for the whole weekend were so bad. And like we went away that weekend and they were like watching it in the back of the car. And my stepdaughter was like, oh, can you hear it? And I was like, no, I can't. And she's like, okay, because I know it scares you. Like, I don't want you to have to hear it. I was like, aww, thank you.
That is sweet.
Because it really, like, I'm not being a jerk. Like, it really affects me. It really affects me. But I wonder if like a gory thing will bother me as much now as an older person.
Yeah, I feel like the gory is just, you know, but I didn't mind the gory on Game of Thrones. So I don't even know if I actually, it is about horror movie gore, you know, but because Game of Thrones didn't bother me and that was gory. And have you watched Squid Games?
No, I'm not ready. I'm not like emotionally ready to watch that.
Oh my God. It is so good.
I will try it.
But it is pretty, there are scenes where I had to close my eyes like that, okay, where it was like a little bit, you know, too much, but yeah, it's not like torture porn, you know, like it's not, yeah, supposed, like hostile or something.
No, I'm going to watch it because I know it's, or I will try watching it because I know it's such a hit, but.
Does Tommy not watch, like, I guess because Tommy's working all the time. I was going to say, do you guys watch the shows together?
I mean, we really can't with Nico. Like, it's just like not working out because we're so tired, but, we are not really watching anything right now, but I mean, maybe we'll, I don't know. I really have to like pick and choose. Like, do I want to watch a Squid Game? The one thing I could watch at night before bed? No, I don't. I want to watch like a rerun of a TV show. So.
Yeah. And also your time is limited. Yeah. With the kid.
Yeah. It is really limited. So I'm like, I can't, I'm like, I have to really like, my time is precious.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. That's fair. My time isn't, and I will fill it with terrifying things to make myself feel better, like therapy.
The Lord, are you dressing up for Halloween?
Yeah, I'm having a party.
Oh, you are?
I am. I'm having a party. I'm dressing up as the girl with the green ribbon around her neck, like from those scary stories when we were a kid.
Wait, did we talk about this story? Because, this story scared me so much as a kid. I was sleeping over my grandmother's house. I read the story in school. Why did we even read that story when we were little?
Like one of those scary story books that every kid had, like when we were little, like scary stories you tell in the dark.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I'm like, what would make me have read that? This is such a strong memory. I read it in school. And like I said, I'm curious about this stuff, but it terrifies me. I was sleeping over my grandmother's and I read it again. And I remember coming down the stairs and she was reading the paper. And I was like, Grandma, I'm really scared because I read this story about a girl whose head falls off when the ribbon is unraveled. And I thought that was just a random memory, you know,
but that's a real story. It was a real story. And I mean, I don't remember it scaring me, but I thought it was so, it stuck for sure.
Yeah. But
I've wanted to be here for the past two Halloweens, but like we've had them for one reason or another. I haven't been able to dress up. So finally, get to be.
Oh, I can't wait to see. That's a good costume.
Are you going to dress up?
Yeah, we're actually going to like a real big Halloween party and I'm very excited. So, okay, our idea's a little all over the place, but okay, you know how I could do fake blood really good? So, and a few years ago, I did a broken doll, which I know you've done before as well. So, we're going to be broken dolls. And I'm going to, but we're going to have like blood coming out. Cause I really want it to be like really Halloween-y, you know?
Yeah.
And, but we're also going to be cheerleaders of a broken doll university.
You had me until that part.
I know, because we're kind of like, we don't want to just be like typical broken dolls in like a pretty dress and a suit, you know? So.
We want to be in cheerleader costumes.
Well. We want to wear cheerleader costumes so we could see the blood. Does that make sense? I don't know. I have to streamline this idea. It might not totally come out this way, but we're going to do broken doll makeup, blood. And then I said, Tommy, this doesn't really make sense. Like, are we like making up a world?
Yeah, it sounds like it. Sounds
yeah,
like
we are.
Exactly what you get from your broken doll cheerleader university. Yeah.
I know. Cause then
but
I was like,
I think it's cool. A little weird, but it's cool.
Then I was like, we could be a bride and groom cause we just got married, but I don't want him to have to wear like a suit. Like that's so annoying, you know? So I don't know. Maybe next week I'll report back that I've streamlined the idea, but.
I like that. I think the cheerleader, I think go for that. Maybe cheerleader. He could be a football player, but your dolls.
No, he's going to be a cheerleader too. Like a male.
Are you going to buy the costumes online or are you
making them?
Yeah.
Oh God,
that might be so nice because you can make stuff like.
Yeah. That's why.
Whatever you want. Yeah.
I know, I have to anyways, but it's a big Halloween party. So we want to be just like real, like spooky. That's kind of.
Yeah. Is it his friends or did you guys like buy tickets to this thing?
No, his friend throws a really big party and rents out a big venue or something.
Like my only fear about this party, I always overthink when I'm having like people over, like we're having a party. That's why I don't do them that often. But like, what do you do to entertain people? Like at parties when you go, I'm like, there should be games, but I've never been to a party with games. Or have I? I don't know. Like how, I guess people just stand around and talk at parties, but I'm like, do I have to do anything?
I feel like the older you become, the games are kind of fun. Like they're like on Winterhouse, they did the pinata and I don't know. They seemed like they had like a lot of props. Like, I feel like nobody's embarrassed anymore when you're a little older to play silly games. Like you should really make it like really kind of silly, spooky with like the lights and the smoke machine. And you should just have like, even if nobody does it, have like the apple bobbing too.
Really? I think I should. Okay.
You like, know?
I can do that. Like have all the kids games and stuff.
Yeah. Like sometimes I think people drink enough and they're like, it's what, 5 minutes of like a hilarious moment. It could be really fun.
Yeah. Well now the pressure is on. I was hoping you were going to say, no, you don't have to entertain people. They'll just stand around and talk and be fine. And no, I guess I'll have games.
I mean, I would be excited to walk into a party that somebody was like, yeah, like let's just be ridiculous and silly. And I would have like spooky music on the background as well as fun music. I would do like,
yeah, I have it. Like I've been decorating. I put up a lot of decorations. But then it still never feels like enough decorations, but I need to do more. All right. I'm going to think about some games.
I would do lights.
The bobbing seems gross. Like, well, I'm going to dip my mouth in a bucket of water that other people are.
Maybe. I know, especially with COVID. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I would actually do it, but. Yeah.
I like this idea. I like where you're taking me. I'm going to
do a smoke machine. I think ambiance.
A smoke machine. Who do you think I am? Where am I getting a smoke machine from? From the props department?
From the party store. I got one. It's really easy.
How much are they?
I don't know, like $30.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah,
I just think the smoke machine seems so fancy. I was like, oh, they must be big bucks. Like, way too much. Well,
smoke machines, like you want to choke on set with smoke machines, but for your little party, I think it'll be cute. Oh,
so you're going to choke on set when you use them, but you want me to choke out the people coming to my party? This feels like sabotage, actually setting me up to fail.
No, I think the more ambiance you create, the better.
Yeah. Okay.
It'll be good. I can't wait to hear about it and see photos.
Yeah. Well, I'll only post the photos if they look good.
Okay.
And then also you're from your party. Sounds like it's going to be much cooler. Rented out a venue.
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know anybody there, but I'm excited just to get dressed up.
Is Nico going to dress up?
Yeah. I'm just going to make him a werewolf, but he won't wear the werewolf headpiece. So like, it's almost stupid. And then I got like a Red Riding Hood just to be cute with him.
So cute.
Yeah, it'll be cute. I wanted to do like in our free time at home, like I wanted to do like paired costumes and take pictures, you know, but it's so much effort. Like, I don't know how these influencers do it. It's like,
that's all they do. That's all they do.
All that like makeup and hair just for one goddamn photo that my baby's going to be like, leave me alone. Like, I know
there's like pictures. There's like a world of Instagram photos of people who like put their baby in a tub full of like coffee beans or shit. Like they like set up pictures to look a certain way with the baby. I'm like, that is so weird.
No, I don't think I can do it. We'll see. And I'll try to streamline my costume idea.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. All right.
So, well, we chatted a lot.
I know. So chatted a lot. I know I'm going to really have to edit this one.